Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. In the small catechism, sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer and lead us not into temptation is explained as follows. God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. We continue our preparations for the season of Lent this morning with Sexagesima Sunday. We are reminded how we are under constant attack as Christians. Attack from the devil, attack from the world, and attack even from our own sinful nature, the flesh. And therefore, our hope must be in the Word of God and in the Word of God alone. This gospel morning, before us this morning tells us that Jesus taught a parable when people came to him from town upon town. Jesus speaks this parable to all who would hear it, not just his disciples, mind you, but to curious onlookers, perhaps even to his opponents. And he says, a sower went out to sow his seed. The seed is, Jesus plainly says, the Word of God. The sower is unidentified by our Lord, but being a single individual, we do well to think of God himself when we think of this sower, for, as we heard from Isaiah, it is from his mouth that his word goes forth. All who proclaim his word are simply his servants. Jesus goes on. As he sowed, some fell along the path, was trampled underfoot, the birds of the air devoured it. This, he goes on to explain, represents those who have heard the word of God, but then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Here we find the first attack leveled against God's word and against you who would hear it. And that is the attack of the devil with his lies and with his deceit would snatch away God's word from you like a bird eating seed. He would have you fall into false belief and into despair and into other great shame and vice so that the word of God would not sink into your heart and take root. The devil knows that those who receive the word and believe will be saved on the last day. But lest we think that those who have the word snatched away from their hearts by the devil bear no guilt of their own, note that Jesus says that they are like a path on which the seed falls and yet does not sink into it, but rather is trampled underfoot. The word, Jesus says, is in fact sown in their hearts, but their hearts are hardened by worldly ideas and ways of life. They hear the word, they do not seek to learn it or to understand it. In fact, they are utterly unmoved by it. The word goes in one ear and out the other, so to speak. This morning, let us examine ourselves. Consider whether we have such a hardened heart that the seed of God's word cannot even enter it. For whoever does not receive the word of God with faith in their hearts, no matter how often they come to church, how often they read their Bibles, how often they would hear the word with their ears, they're like a hard road in which the seed falls but does not penetrate. Jesus says that's just the first attack, though. He goes on to say, some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. This, Jesus says, represents those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. These have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. Second attack against God's word and those who hear it is the attack of the world. Jesus tells us the world attacks with times of testing, that is, persecution, affliction. Through all sorts of means, things like mockery, abuse, pain and suffering, persecution, martyrdom, even death, yes, the world would seek that faith wither and die under the scorching heat of trial and tribulation. But again, those who suffer this attack also bear guilt, the guilt of rejecting Jesus. Such people, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, he says. They are eager and enthusiastic for a short time after hearing the gospel. They are zealous for this newly received faith. They really and truly believe. But they're not firmly rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word. So when times of temptation come, as they inevitably do, when there is finally real danger of suffering for the name of Jesus, the real possibility of losing things like friendships or esteem in the community, earthly comfort and possessions, most certainly bodily life, such people turn away and flee from the truth. Again, let us examine ourselves this morning. Are we so firmly grounded in the truth of God's word that we are able to withstand the rocks and scorching heat of persecution? Or do such things cause our faith to wither, that we would shrink away from Jesus, back to what is comfortable here on earth? That idea of returning to earthly comfort leads us to this final attack, the attack of the sinful nature, the attack of the flesh. Jesus said, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it." This, he says, represents those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. This perhaps is the most subtle of the attacks against us, and yet perhaps the most dangerous, for it begins within us. Our own flesh, the sinful nature inherited from Adam, seeks not the things of God, but the cares and riches and pleasures of life. Well, for a while, faith may grow up together with such earthly cares and concerns. It will not survive for long. For as Jesus says elsewhere in the Gospels, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Yes, again, those who suffer this attack within themselves are not innocent of transgression. The word finds a home in their hearts. Yes, it even begins to grow and begins to produce some fruit. But their fruit does not mature, says Jesus. Instead, gradually, over time, the love of money and the love of the pleasures of this life, it creeps into the heart and mind until faith is extinguished without hardly even noticing. Rather than trials and tribulations, it's peace, good days, earthly happiness, these things that destroy faith in Jesus. Yes, even choke it to death. And so once more, let us examine ourselves. Have our hearts been overtaken by the concerns we have, our needs for this body and life, earthly lusts and greed and comforts of this world? Do these choke our faith so that we seek the things of man and not the things of God? Yes, this morning we are reminded that the attacks against God's word are many and varied. The devil seeks to take it away before it can even reach the heart. The world tries to wither it before it grows deep roots. The sinful nature tries to choke out the newly sprouted faith. Fact is, we don't need to spend too much time discerning which individual soil we are, for the truth is, we resemble them all at one point or the other. And we have succumbed to each and every one of these attacks more than once. With such powerful enemies of the word, the odds seem so highly stacked against faith and salvation that we might just wonder with the disciples, who then can be saved? But remember how Jesus answered that question. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so, despite what seemed to be overwhelming odds, despite what appears to be three-quarters of the seed going to waste, the sower continues to go out and sow his seed. For again, the seed is the word of God. You may remember last week's parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who hires 5 times as many workers as he needs. He gives them all a full day's pay, no matter how long they work. Well, in the same way, the kingdom of heaven is like a sower who goes out and is generous with what he has. That is the seed of the word of God. So generous, so abundant, so gracious with what he has, that he sows that seed anywhere and everywhere, no matter how often it is rejected, no matter how little there seems to be success. In our Lutheran service book, there's a hymn titled Preach You the Word, based on this very text. It speaks very powerfully about the sower's determination. It goes, the sower sows, his reckless love scatters abroad the goodly seed, intent alone that all may have the wholesome loaves that all men need. Though some be snatched and some be scorched and some be choked and matted flat, sower sows, his heart cries out, oh, what of that and what of that? Of all is scattered plenteous, 1/4 waves ripe on hill and flat, and bears a harvest 100-fold. Ah, what of that, Lord? What of that? Picture the sower. He walks throughout his fields, marching to and fro, flinging seed left and right. And as he throws that seed, sure he sees the birds come and eat it. Sure he notices the rocks on the ground that may cause that plant to wither. Sure he sees the thorns that threaten to choke away the plant. And yet he remains defiant. What of that? What of that? Keeps on sowing. He must keep on sowing. What moves this man to such persistence in the face of what appears to be failure? Same thing that moved Noah to proclaim the coming flood to the scoffing multitudes. Moses to call the children of Israel out of Egypt, standing before the face of unmoved Pharaoh. What moved Elijah to condemn wicked King Ahab and his blasphemous wife Jezebel? It's what moved Peter and John to stand before the council of rulers and elders and obey God rather than men. Stephen to face stoning from those stiff-necked people who always rejected the work of the Spirit. What moved Paul to endure weakness upon weakness. Luther to nail his 95 theses to the church door. And countless, somewhat forgotten perhaps, prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, Christians themselves, confess their faith in Jesus Christ before the world. The power of the Word of God. Sower knows the power of the seed. Those who confess Jesus Christ throughout the ages know the power of the word. They know that that word is living and active, according to the author of Hebrews. They know that the word of God never returns to him empty, says the Lord in Isaiah, but accomplishes that which he purposes and succeeds in the thing for which he sends it. And so just like the sower has sowed his seed, left and right, to and fro, everywhere and anywhere, so the church from the very beginning has obeyed the commission of Christ, sent forth preachers, make disciples of all nations, proclaiming the gospel to the whole creation. Missionaries have evangelized, pastors have preached, parents have taught, Christians have encouraged and exhorted and borne witness, confessing their faith. And they have done so again, yes, to the whole creation, the whole world. Not really worrying as to whether that soil is good or bad in our eyes. For we know that where there is faith, there will be good soil. You see, seed, that is the word of God, doesn't simply grow in good and rich soil. It is powerful to make soil good and rich. So the seed of the word of God is powerful to make the human heart a new heart, a clean heart. It is powerful to renew a right spirit in the sinner, so that the heart may be honest and good and bear a hundredfold fruit with patience. Hearts that are good soil, hearts that receive the word of God in faith and joy, are not made good on their own, but rather are made so by the plow of God's grace, by the deepening of the soil, by purification, by the weeding, God's sanctification. Therefore, watered in baptism, nourished by the Lord's Supper, strengthened and preserved, we hold fast to this powerful word of Christ in an honest and good heart. And yes, bear fruit, a hundredfold fruit with patience. Our confidence as Christians is not in ourselves, but in the word of God alone. The word is not merely a collection of teachings and stories. Rather, it is the living and active word of God. In the word, God speaks to us. Even those things that happened centuries ago, God willed to be written down for our sake, for our instruction. This is what God wanted, that his word would be shared with all nations, heard by all generations. Through this word, God would teach us, reprove us, correct us, train us in righteousness, and encourage us, bring us comfort. Word of the law is a word like fire, is a word that breaks the rock in pieces. This word of the law is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. But when that word of the law has done its work, when the heart is broken, then the gospel enters in, the word of spirit and of life, the word that heals and regenerates, the word that is truly the power of God unto salvation. The word is the word of Jesus, victory over the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature. And that's why we gather together week after week, year after year, to hear this same word. For this word, again, is powerful to forgive our sins and give us life everlasting. No other word can do this, only the word of God. The word of the gospel, the word of Jesus' death and resurrection. How he was nailed to the cross. How the tree of the cross was planted in the earth outside Jerusalem's walls. How the crown of thorns encircled his head and cut him. How he died and was buried in a tomb cut from rock. How from the earth he sprung forth to life on Easter Sunday, risen forevermore, never to die again. Later in the Gospels, in fact, during Holy Week, Jesus would say to his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." The Lord did not will to remain in heaven alone. But like the grain of wheat, or like the seed sown on good soil, our Lord fell to the earth and died. And because he has died, and died for us, he has borne much fruit, a multitude of believers from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. In these believers, the word that is heard by the ear is kept in the heart. Such believers hold fast to this word as the divine and saving word, powerful and glorious. And in faith, they bring forth fruit that is well-pleasing to God, all patience. Yes, today, as we continue our preparations for the season of Lent, we are reminded that the Word of God, and the Word of God alone, is powerful to make our hearts into good soil. It is the Word of God alone that is powerful to produce a fruitful faith. It is the Word of God alone that is powerful to guard us and keep us from the attacks of the devil, the world, and even our own sinful nature. Finally, it is powerful to overcome all these things, give us the victory. And so, without fail, the great sower Jesus continues to sow the seed of his word all around the world through the preaching of the gospel. That seed might take root in our hearts, that we might bring forth fruits a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. The devil, the world, sinful nature will not cease their attacks, will not stop trying to take away the word and wither your faith and choke it away. But the word of God is powerful, even more powerful than those birds, rocks, and weeds. And so as long as they keep attacking, the sower will keep on sowing. Seed is the word of Christ's victory for you. Word that is truly able to forgive your sins, preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.